Earlier this week, while Pastor Faith was in West Virginia, we were texting back and forth, and I was asking how the trip was going, and she said, you know, the high school kids, they're doing great. Just some hiccups in pivoting with the work. Hiccups in pivoting. Pastor Faith couldn't have known that while we were texting, I was sitting down in front of our takeaway for this week, and I was thinking, you know what, the discipleship, following Jesus, when we say discipleship, that's what we mean, following Jesus isn't about knowing exactly where we are going, what exactly our next step is going to be. It's about trusting God when the road ahead isn't clear. It's trusting God through the hiccups. And trusting God through the places that we have to pivot when plans don't go how we expected them to. When we're surprised or when we're let down by one thing or another. So we have spent a good amount of this summer walking through the second part of Acts where people encounter God and they learn something while they are on the road. Something about the kingdom of God, something about themselves. Usually it's something about both the kingdom of God and themselves while they are traveling from one place to the next. And this morning we're in Acts 16, which you can find on page 951 in your pew Bible. You can also follow along up on the screen in a moment. We already heard from Faith about verses 6 through 10, where Paul and his companions, they're journeying, they're walking through Asia Minor, and he receives this vision to go to Macedonia. But before we read the next five verses, will you join me in prayer once more? Generous God, we thank you for the gift of your word and for the opportunity to unpack it together. And God, now we ask that the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Paul's journey, it continues in Acts 16, starting at verse 11. We read this. From Tros, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And for the next day, we went to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that one of the highlights from my sabbatical was the road trip our family took from Washington, D.C. to New York City. What I didn't share was the reason for the trip. Ella, our oldest daughter, is a part of the Los Robles Children's Choir, who also rehearses here on Tuesdays after the Silver Strings. And every other year, they take a tour somewhere. And this year's happens to be to New York. And Ella decided that she wanted to go. And the rest of the family said, you know what? You don't get to go to New York on your own. We're joining you. We're going with you. One day while she was at rehearsal, the rest of our family found ourselves kind of wandering around Central Park, and we ended up in the middle of the park. There's a place to play chess, and we ended up there, and Thomas, somehow our son, our 11-year-old, somehow ended up sitting across from a local man named Matthew, who was telling us all about chess and all about Central Park. When he asked about our visit, why we were there, I told him about the choir tour, and he went on and on and on about an architect who came in to remodel Carnegie Hall and almost screwed up the acoustics while trying to remodel Carnegie Hall. When I got home, I looked up some of that story because he told me a lot of that story, and it was true. But then I started kind of going down the rabbit hole of Carnegie Hall's origin story. Andrew Carnegie, he didn't set out with the intention of opening a concert venue, let alone a world-class concert venue. He was a steel manufacturer. He was a steel manufacturer, not a musician at all, not an architect. He was a Scottish immigrant who made his fortune in Pittsburgh. In 1887, Andrew was on a trip across the Atlantic. He was going back home to Scotland, and he met a young conductor named Walter Damrosch. They struck up a conversation. They became friends. And on a later trip, Walter shared about this dream that he had of New York City having a world-class venue. Andrew listened. 4 years later, Carnegie Hall opened its doors. Now I wonder, how did that conversation begin? How many conversations did the two of them actually have with one another? Did Walter pitch it to other people first? And if so, how many times was he shut down? Was it just the right place, right time? Or was something else going on? We will never know the answers to those questions. We don't have all the details. And the story of Carnegie Hall's origins, it reminds us that remarkable things often begin long before, well before anyone can see the outcome or the destination. Paul's journey reflects that truth. He didn't know where the road was leading every time he set out on one of his missionary journeys. Open doors, closed doors, unexpected twists and turns. And eventually, as we read today, one of those journeys led him to a riverbank outside the city of Philippi, where he meets a woman named Lydia. Now, Acts 16 begs us to ask ourselves an important question. How do we trust God when the road ahead isn't clear? How do we trust God when the road ahead is not clear? It's a question that Paul had to wrestle with and had to learn how to answer along his lifetime and ministry. From the Damascus Road moment to his first missionary journey, prison cells, shipwrecks, courtrooms, on and on. The road ahead was rarely clear for him. And yet, somehow, he kept going. In the paragraphs before we get to what we read today in Acts 16, Luke kind of gives the snapshot of Paul's ministry. Timothy joins Paul and Silas, and they walk from town to town, sharing the decision that had just been made at the Jerusalem Council meeting. I'm going to get into that in a minute. Everything was working. Churches were growing. Disciples were being encouraged. The message of Jesus was spreading. It was working. Paul was being faithful to the mission that he had been given. And Luke gives us the impression that Paul, he's always on the move. He's one of those people who can't sit still for very long. He doesn't sit around waiting for another vision or some sort of dramatic moment. He keeps going. He moves forward, doing the work that God had put in front of him. Now, I'm a Presbyterian pastor. I love our Presbyterian tradition. We are fairly deliberate and thorough when it comes to decision making. Any of you on session can say amen, I know. We love committees. We love meetings. We believe that discernment matters. Honestly, it's one of the things I appreciate about being Presbyterian. But there's also a potential downside. It means we often move very, very slowly. And we sometimes fall victim to paralysis by analysis. The Jerusalem Council meeting that takes place in Acts 15 was a meeting where the apostles and the elders, they're wrestling with how to invite the Gentiles into their fellowship, how to include them in the church. It was a difficult and touchy subject. They prayed, they debated, they listened, and then they acted. And they went and shared what was decided. The decision wasn't made in haste, but it also wasn't sent to five different committees to be pulled apart and have every detail talked about. They moved forward. They moved forward, trusting that God was up to something, even if they couldn't fully define what that something was. Paul didn't have every answer. He just kept walking. Sometimes we need to do the same thing. But faithfulness and obedience don't guarantee a straight path or a clear road. We see that with Paul. It's not like he gets lost along the road or something goes wrong in what we read. He was faithfully doing exactly what God had called him to do, to preach the gospel, to plant churches, to encourage churches. And yet, it didn't always work out. In the passage the pastor Faith read, doors were closed. Doors were closed. First he goes to preach to the region of Asia. The Spirit says no. Then he tries to go to Bithynia. No again. Instead of shying away from the detours or seeing them as a sign of stop, don't go any further, he leans into the detours. One of the commentaries I read said that Paul was a visionary who always submitted the visions that he had to God's will. Sometimes the detours were the roads that God uses to lead us to destinations we would have never chosen for ourselves. Sometimes the detours are the roads God uses to lead us to destinations we could have never chosen for ourselves. One of the joys of walking the Camino a few months ago was being reminded of the importance of the detours. I'll never forget when I finally arrived in Santiago de Compostela. I shared about it Sunday after church a little bit. It was the end of this long journey. I was exhausted, and at the same time, I wanted to celebrate. So on a whim, I looked to see if there was a nice restaurant in town. It's not a big town. I just looked up. I said, is there a nice restaurant anywhere? And I said, well, you know, I don't usually look for a Michelin star restaurant, but I wonder if there's one here. And there was one. There was one. I didn't have a reservation. I didn't really know where I was going. I didn't call ahead. I just went. It was about around dusk, and I was led down this small alley to a door without a sign in the middle of what kind of looked like a residential area. I thought I was lost. And then I saw that little red Michelin star sign in a window with no title above the door, just a door and a red Michelin star sign next to it. I opened the door and I went in, and I was greeted by the host, and he said, we don't have a seat for you. And as I walked out thinking, oh, okay, he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, I don't have a seat for you here, but our chef has a pop-up restaurant three doors down. Go and knock on the door and tell them that I sent you. So I knock on the door and I walk into this dimly lit room with eight tables. And Japanese Spanish fusion wasn't a cuisine I knew that I needed, but it was one of the best meals I have ever had. Now, not every detour leads to a Michelin star quality restaurant. Sometimes those detours are hard. Sometimes they're difficult, but Acts reminds us that a closed door isn't always a sign that we've gone the wrong way. I think that's a part of what Luke wants us to see here in this part of Acts. The Spirit closes parts of Asia. The Spirit closes Bithynia. Paul could have said, this isn't working. It's time to be done. This isn't working. It's time to go home. But he doesn't. He leans into the detour. Then one night after all the closed doors, he had a vision of a man from Macedonia asking him to come and help, to come to his region and to help. And once again, he listens. Paul and his companions, they eventually arrive in Philippi, and it's one of the bigger cities in Macedonia. But instead of finding the man from his vision, he finds a group of women outside the city, and among those women was a woman named Lydia. Now, Luke writes that Lydia was a dealer of purple cloth, which probably means she was a successful businesswoman, probably with a degree of wealth, probably with a degree of influence. And he also writes that she's a worshiper of God. So she had already been kind of searching or exploring the God of Israel. Now, if we pay close attention to how Luke tells the story here, the spotlight shifts just for a moment from Paul's story to Lydia's story. Up to this point, it had been about Paul's decisions, doors being closed, and Paul's journey, Paul's detours, Paul's vision. But then Luke reminds us who had been at work all along through the whole journey. In verse 14, we're told that the Lord opened Lydia's heart to Paul's teaching. The Lord opened Lydia's heart to Paul's teaching. Paul wasn't the one opening hearts. It wasn't because he preached the best sermon that Lydia had ever heard. It wasn't because she was captivated by his personality. It's because the Lord was doing something. Paul's vision wasn't only about getting to a new city. It was about bringing him to a person that God had already been preparing, already been working through. And that person was Lydia. He stayed alert to what God was doing. Paul did. And so did Lydia. God opens her heart. She opens her home. Let me say that again. The Lord opens her heart, then she opens her home. Think about that for a moment. She doesn't just believe something new. It's not some sort of intellectual assent. She does something. The Lord opens her heart. She opens her home. She says, come and stay with us. Her response invites us to consider the tangible steps that we're willing to take as we live out our own faith. Her faith literally opened up her home. So what door is our faith asking us to open? Maybe it is the literal door of our homes. Maybe it is a door to space in our calendar. Maybe it's a conversation with a neighbor. Maybe it's the door to our resources. Or maybe it's the door we've been avoiding because we're afraid where God might lead or who we might meet on the other side of that door. We don't always know where the road is leading. We don't always understand why one door opens while another door closes. We don't always get to see what God is doing before God does it. Acts 16 reminds us that discipleship, following Jesus, isn't about having a clear picture about what's next or about the road ahead. It's not about seeing the map. So keep walking. Keep moving forward. Lean into those detours. You never know what God might be doing in them. And stay alert, because the God who calls us down uncertain roads is already at work wherever God is calling. Let's pray. Gracious God, give us courage to walk down uncertain roads, to lean into those detours, and to stay alert to what you're doing around us. Open our hearts in the way you opened Lydia's, so that we might live as a people you've called us to be. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.